the course of, you know, in our lifetimes, it may look like it's happening, you know, well, as you say, it looks like it's happening increasingly quickly, but it may seem not to be happening, you know, all at once. But in once again, if you take a very broad look at it in the course of geological history, everything that's happened over the last, you know, several thousand years is going to be compressed down to this tiny, tiny layer, and it's going to look like it did happen instantaneously, more or less the way it looks like, you know, what happened to the dinosaurs.
Okay, so in other words, it's partly just our view. Our view is close in day to day, not hundreds of millions of years or even, you know, hundreds of years. Usually humans aren't too good at planning that far ahead.
Exactly.
And so scientists are in agreement that we're in the midst right now of one of those?
Well, I think some people would say we're on the verge, and some people would say we're at the beginning, and some people would say we're at the midst. In the midst. Once again, it's one of those things, you know, that is very hard to say when you're right up against it.
Well, let's talk about what, in fact, they're renaming the period we live in. Instead of Holocene, many are beginning to talk about it as the Anthropocene.
Yeah, that's a really interesting discussion. As you say, we live in a geological epoch. Geologists divide time in all sorts of ways. It can get a little bit complicated. But we live in the Holocene, which is the period since the last ice age. It's about 12,000 years. And now there's a question of whether what we're doing to the planet, whether the changes that we're effecting are so great that we should rename it the Anthropocene in honor, I guess you could say, of one species, that species being us, that has now come to take the place of the great geological forces that have shaped the Earth in the past. And there's a lot of, you know, debate, serious scientific debate going on right now about whether that should happen formally, because there's a formal naming system that geologists agree to. But I think, and that has not yet been resolved, but informally, it has been resolved. And informally, you see increasing references in the scientific literature. There are whole scientific journals devoted to the Anthropocene. So informally, it has been adopted. It is being adopted.
And the way that we are becoming so important, or maybe we, you know, I always think of humans as having an inflated sense of their importance. That's probably
right.
Not accurate. Our importance is probably that significant that we can affect the full future of the world. It isn't always intentional, though. You talk about man's restlessness as part of what drives the Anthropocene. Can you say a little bit about that?
Yeah, I think that's a very good point that you make. You know, we tend to think, and we have been sort of conditioned to think in a way, and that is one of the discoveries of modern science, you know, that sun does not revolve around the Earth, it's the opposite, that humans are just another species evolved in the way that all other species are evolved. So people often speak about the history of science as sort of humbling to human beings, when in fact it turns out that human beings actually are quite an unusual creature. How's that?
And that as we travel the world, we change the world even when we don't intend to. Dropping rats on Easter Island. We always thought the deforestation was due to human cutting down of trees, but it turns out the rats that we brought ate it up. You know, we're going to talk a lot more about these kind of changes and some specific species that have been driven extinct or are going extinct, but I do need to take a break right now. We're in our membership drive. I do want to say your publisher has been kind enough, Elizabeth, to make a limited number of your books available to members who call in as a thank you gift. So do please take the next opportunity to call in and become a member. That's right now. The number is 1-800-500-5266. I'm going to go ahead and take that break now.
Well, it's actually 877-500-5266. That's 877-500-5266. And if you call us right now, yeah, we have that great book, The Sixth Extinction. And just sitting here and listening to the show, I'm learning stuff. I didn't know that stuff about the rats on Easter Island. I thought it was human deforestation.
They ate the roots? Is that what it was, Linda? Oh, okay. They ate the roots. That's what I think. But what you need to do is call for a $60 minimum donation. It's excellent. You can get the sixth extension, An Unnatural History by Elizabeth Colbert. She was also on Democracy Now! This week. We guest with Democracy Now! Quite often and on KABU because people love to come on KABU. Some of the people that Linda has had on, she works really hard on the show. Once again, a labor of love, and that's why it's so good. We've got this. She's done a lot of work about who are in Guantanamo and who are not, with Andy Worthing and Omar Khadr. What happened to him? It was an interview with attorney Dennis Edney.
I remember that one. Lots of fascinating stuff. I hadn't heard that anywhere else. I felt fortunate to have tuned into that show and really learned something. And I think you can show your devotion to Linda and her terrific show. And as my friend Lynn said, she does all this for free. This is a labor of love and a lot of work. And if you call us at 877-500-5266, you can show your support for this radio station and for Linda. Who are some of the other people that have been on her show, Lynn?
Oh, there's I love this show. It was the housing bubble and Wall Street's rental empire. As a renter, I found it extremely interesting. It was an interview with Laura Gottendiener. Anyway, it was the new housing bubble. It's like insane what is going on. You wonder what's going on with your rent? Read this book, find out. Go back to Linda's archives. She does penetrating, interesting, enlightening things every week.
It's shocking how much we, as a human species, repeat ourselves and make the same mistakes and destroy our environment. And repeat. I mean, I think it was Mark Twain that said, history doesn't repeat itself, but it does rhyme. And we go through all this so often. And the only way we can learn from these experiences is by reading these books and listening to these terrific shows on KABU. So please call us at 877-500-5266. That's 877-500-5266. And Linda will be talking with this Elizabeth Colbert very shortly and talking about her book, The Sixth Extinction, which is quite something to say, but a terrific book and well worth reading.
Absolutely. And 877-500-5266. Linda puts a lot of love in this show. People do. It's time for all of you to give a little love back in the form of monetary remuneration. We need to keep the lights on and pay our teeny-weeny staff their meager salaries and do things like repair transmitters.
And we all know that electricity
isn't free. I know.
Yeah,
that's
right. We've got to pay the electric bill. There's a lot of electricity.
It just has to happen to broadcast, and broadcasting is still. You can get us at KBOO.FM, but we believe in terrestrial broadcasting as well.
But you can donate online. You can look us up on KBOO.FM, as Lynn was saying, and you can click on the donation icon. I believe it's a jar or something. But there's a way to donate online. It's very easy, very quick, very convenient, and that would help this terrific radio station stay on the air. But also, you can come in here. You can walk
in
to 20 Southeast 8th. It's easy to find. There's a big mural outside, and you can walk in, meet the receptionist, sit down, have a cup of coffee, get a tour of the radio station, and donate your money that way. We would gratefully receive it, and you can work out where your money's going to and what it pays for. You can meet some of the staff and you can see how much activity is going on in here and how much intensity is going on in here and how much commitment. It's truly a labor of love for everybody. So please call us at 877-500-5266.
And now we get back to Linda Olson Osterlund's interview with Elizabeth Colbert.
Elizabeth, let's talk about some of the species that are going extinct and how that's happening as a result of human activity on Earth. I wonder if you could talk about your visit to Castello
Aragonese.
You say it, please.
Castello Aragonese. I mean, that probably is not how the Italians would pronounce it. How's that? It's as close as I can get.
Yes. Tell us about there and what that taught you about what we're doing.
Yeah, that was a really interesting trip. What we were doing there is there are these volcanic vents. It's an area of a lot of volcanic activity. And so there are these vents which are pouring CO2 into the water, into the Bay of Naples from below. And they mimic really what we are doing by emitting a lot of carbon dioxide into the atmosphere, and then that carbon dioxide, a lot of it is getting absorbed and dissolved in the water from above. So a scientist named Jason Hall Spencer, who's a British marine scientist, got this idea, okay, well, if we look at what has happened near these volcanic vents, we're going to get an interesting picture of the future as we put more and more CO2 into the water, which has the effect of acidifying the water. When you dissolve CO2 in water, it forms an acid. And so he mapped out this whole area around this little island of Castello Oreganese. In some cases, the vents are very dense and they pour a lot of CO2 into the water, and then he looked far away from the vents. And what I did when I went out with him is we swam this expanse from the spot where the vents have no impact or very little impact on the water to where they have a very significant impact on the water. And what you can see there is that where you're far away from the vents, you see a lot of life, you see corals, you see sea urchins, you see barnacles, you see limpets, you see mollusks, all the things you'd expect to see in the Mediterranean. And it's sort of,
it sounds beautiful.
Underwater way, right? And then as you get closer and closer to the vents, more and more organisms drop out. They simply cannot tolerate these acidified waters until eventually you get to this spot that just looks like a lunar landscape, you know, underwater lunar landscape, because practically nothing can tolerate that level of acidification. And what he has found looking there is that the level of acidification that's sort of anticipated for around the end of this century, if we just continue to emit CO2 at our present rate, about a third of the organisms drop out. And that is a very, very sobering figure. It suggests, you know, we can't prove, we can't necessarily extrapolate to the whole ocean, but it suggests that a third of the species in the oceans are at risk from ocean acidification.
Well, we know here in Oregon that our oysters are already being damaged, where they're having to do all sorts of machinations of pumping in different water at different times to keep the oyster farms alive because of the damage of the acidification on oyster beds here off the Oregon coast. So this gave you a really, you could just see it dramatically, measure it here, measure it here, measure it there, and see the impact on animals. Let's move on and talk about the coral, sort of the building blocks of our sea in a way.
Yeah, corals are really the engineers, I guess, maybe you could say, of the sea, and they build these enormous reefs which make human constructions look tiny, look like little dollhouses. The Great Barrier Reef, for example, off the coast of Australia, stretches for something like 1,500 miles. And corals are just these tiny little gelatinous creatures, maybe the size, most of them are smaller than a pea, but they produce these massive reefs by this communal project of reef building, and that seems to be very sensitive to changes in ocean chemistry. And so there's, a lot of predictions that reefs in general, the Great Barrier Reef, which is the world's biggest reefs, but reefs in general, will have a very, very hard time keeping up.
And reefs are the household of how many other species?
Well, there are, very wide estimates, because it turns out we don't know, a lot of the species that are out there, but it's from anywhere from 500,000 to as many as perhaps 9 million species spend at least part of their lives on reefs. So reefs are an incredibly important ecosystem, and scientists who study them project that they could be the first entire ecosystem to fail as a result of human impacts, because they simply cannot produce reefs. The process of producing reefs is, as you say, it's analogous to those oysters forming their shells. It's very much the same process. They can't keep up with the changes in ocean chemistry.
Okay. Well, let's leave it right there for this moment, Elizabeth. We need to take another break to give people a great chance to show their support for KBOO and to get a copy of your book, The Sixth Extinction and Unnatural History. I'm speaking with Elizabeth Colbert. We'll be right back to you, Elizabeth.
Okay. That way I wouldn't interrupt you.
And good morning. I'm Lynn. I'm here with Will, and we are here to cajole you. We are here to convince you that KBOO is a place to put some of your hard-earned nickels and dimes. But we want to give you something besides incredible programming. We have a copy of the Sixth Extinction and Unnatural History by Elizabeth Colbert. It is for your $60 minimum donation, and that can be $5 a month if you start at EFT, which our phone answers can tell you all about because they are brilliant. They are here to answer the phone and help you with whatever they can. So get this book today with that Elizabeth Colbert, who is talking with the esteemed Linda Olson Osterlund this morning, who has had on everybody from Jeremy Scahill to Arthur Stamos. That was a good one. lots of she loves to talk about the whistleblowers, and they need some publicity after all. Carl Messino, all sorts of stuff like that has been going on.
The publicity that whistleblowers get is the only protection they have from the corporations or the
Absolutely
government that they
will.
Blow the whistle on. It's only when we know about these people that they are actually safe or somewhat safe from the people who would want to take them down. It's a very brave act to be a whistleblower, and I think the KBOO listeners know that. And it's thanks to people like Linda Olson-Osterlund and Teresa Mitchell that bring you these terrific shows about these very brave people. And, I mean, it's so informative. I've already learned a lot just in the hour I've been here, and I'm a volunteer. I volunteer my time, as does almost everybody in this place. But we do need to pay some bills, and that's up to you, dear listeners. So please call us at 877-500-5266. We have this terrific book by Elizabeth Colbert, The Sixth Extinction. And, I mean, there can't be anything more relevant than our presence on this planet and how long we have and what we need to do in order to make sure there is an environment for us to live in and for our children and our children's children. So please call us at 877-500-5266. That's 877-500-KBOO.
And I want to thank restaurants who are doing their part to feed our hungry volunteers. That is their contribution to KBOO. Bridges Cafe at 2716 Northeast MLK Junior Boulevard. Vita Cafe at 3024 Northeast Alberta. And The Side Door at 425 Southeast Washington Street. Thank you, restaurants. We all try to do our part here, and like Will said, what's important is how important it is to know that we want to know that the ground beneath our feet is still here. KBOO is the ground beneath your feet for information, not just in this region, in Portland, but also nationally and internationally, because now we get calls from all over the place. People can get in touch with us at kboo.fm. You can also make your pledge of support by going to kboo.fm and click on the donate today jar. It's easy, easy, easy peasy to do. But in the meantime, give us a call. It's really fun to talk to the volunteers, 877-500-5266. Or come on down to 20 Southeast 8th. See where your money's going. Come down to talk to our friendly volunteers. Get a tour of the station. Have a cup of our amazing coffee. That'll keep you going all day.
That's for sure. That is definitely for sure. We always have coffee on the go here with the receptionist, and there's a lobby area, and there's always interesting conversations. I get so much out of the time I donate, and you can become part of this community and part of the KBOO community when you either walk in through the front door or you call us right now at 877-500-5266. Boy, you would have thought I'd said it enough. I'd be able to get it right.
It should be tattooed on the inside of your eyeballs by now.
Probably wouldn't help me, but that's another story. So please call us at 877-500-5266. It's so important. It may be the most important thing you do today, and it'll make you part of the KBOO community, which you already are as a listener, of course. But by reaching out, putting some money into the bills and the costs of running this terrific place, you're really becoming a greater part of the community. Well, I don't want to be rude to the people who aren't donating, but let's be honest. It's those people who do donate that make this place happen, and it's so important. And if you're living outside of the Portland area, then please call us. It's easy to do. It's 877-500-5266. We have so many people to thank, everybody who's called already. But I wanted to mention one thing. Lynn was talking about the ground beneath our feet. Do you remember that terrific interview that Justin did with Salman Rushdie? He wrote a book called The Ground Beneath Her Feet, which is one of his best books. And I really enjoyed that interview. It was a fascinating interview with a great writer. And that was brought to you by KBOO. So call us at 877-500-5266.
That's right. We do actual in-depth interviews. Linda has a half an hour, 28 minutes actually, to interview Elizabeth Colbert. That's astonishing. That is something that that you can actually get an idea of what is going on. It is not a 5-minute soundbite. That's the sort of depth that we have here in our News and Public Affairs Department. 877-500-5266. You're listening to it. You know you like it.
It's thanks to this radio station that I find out about books that I want to listen to or read. You know, Shock Doctrine by Naomi Klein or Overthrow by, I believe it's Stephen Kinzer. These are fascinating books, and you find out about it through KABU.
Absolutely. 877-500-5266. And let's go back to Linda's interview with Elizabeth Colbert.
Elizabeth, this is our time to sort of wrap up, and I know we barely touched on this book. It's getting rave reviews, by the way. I read some of the reviews this morning, and it's just out, and it's really well received. I read it over, we were snowed in over the weekend, so I read it over while we were snowed in and found it very compelling, and yet in some ways not as depressing as I might have thought. It gives a little bit of a longer view of history and where we fit in it. But let's talk about, where did this book leave you, and what did you want people to go away with?
Well, I really, I'm pretty upfront about what I want people to go away with, and I want people to come to an understanding, both intellectually and even viscerally on some level, that we live in an extraordinary time, and that we are having an extraordinary influence over the whole history of life. You know, what goes forward will be those creatures that could survive with us, and we really need to face up to that.
And is there the possibility that we won't survive if all of the creatures that are dying off don't, or if a certain amount of them, the base of our oceans or something, don't survive?
Well, I certainly think, you know, there's absolutely the possibility. I mean, one of the lines that I quote in the book is from a British paleontologist who says that at moments of mass extinction, the rules of the game seem to change, the rules of the survival game. And when the rules of the survival game change, I guess you would say, well, you don't know who's going to be a winner and a loser in this new game. Now, I don't really talk about the question of the future of humanity. I think if you were a sort of a betting person now and you said, well, what creature can survive human impacts, I guess your first, you know, you'd say, well, humans would seem to be pretty well positioned to survive that. But once again, we're tampering with systems that we absolutely depend on. Obviously, the oceans, which we depend on, you know, not just for, you know, seafood, but we depend on for a lot of our oxygen, for example. So when you tamper, you know, with big systems, the life support systems of the Earth, then clearly you're taking a risk. And the further down this road we go, the greater our own impact on the planet, then the riskier it becomes.
And so, if you were asking people to do something, what would you ask them to do? Is it just to learn more about what we're doing?
Well, I don't take, you know, the turn in the book, this is what you personally
do. Yeah, I know. It really is a history. It brings us to now, and I appreciate that.
Where do we go from here? Yeah.
Well, that's maybe the question that we're all left with, because so many of the species, we only touched on two. How many are there that are dying at any moment? And we're talking now about species of animal life in a way, though we're talking coral, but you know, we're talking plants, whole types of plants and other things, as we saw a bee die off due to pesticides. But it doesn't have to be that. We have to get a lot subtler in our thinking. For example, fragmented ecosystems don't work. We need to keep continuous ecosystems.
Yes, and I think, and one of the reasons, you know, that I didn't end the book on here's what we need to do is implicit in your point, which is that there are a lot of things we need to do, and they're not easy things. And so I don't know that anyone has come up with, you know, here is the solution. Or if they have, let's put it this way, I haven't read it. I guess if I were going to say one thing that we really ought to do that would have a major significant impact, is we really, really need to reduce our carbon emissions, and we need to do that pretty drastically. That's a big job. So far, we have really shown no inclination to even undertake it. But that would be, I guess, if I would put that at the top of my priority list.
All right. Well, thank you very much for joining us today, Elizabeth Colbert, author of The Sixth Extinction and Unnatural History. You still can call in right now and become a member and get that book. Thank you very much for joining us, and thank you very much for writing this book.
Oh, thanks for having me.
You're welcome.
A couple minutes before 10 o'clock, good morning. We are in the middle of our membership drive. It's the Mighty Boo KBOO Portland. Give us a call at 877-500-5266. Coming up in 15 minutes, it's Flashpoints featuring an excerpt from a recent speech by radical economist Richard Wolff. Also today at 11, the guest on Between the Covers is Harriet Scott Chessman, whose new novel, The Beauty of Ordinary Things, which is the story of the unlikely love and friendship between a young Vietnam veteran and a Benedictine nun. And today at 11:30 on Words and Pictures, host SW Concert speaks with author Mike Madrid about divas, dames, and daredevils, lost heroines of golden age comics. That's all coming up this morning on KBOO. Up next, though, it is Chris Andre hosting Air Cascadia, featuring headlines, interviews, and commentaries. Stick around. That's next on KBOO.
KBOO is a proud co-sponsor of the 37th Annual Portland International Film Festival. This festival is the largest film event in Oregon, featuring over 100 international shorts and feature films. The films will be shown at a variety of Portland theaters from February 6th through the 22nd. More information about these films, dates, and locations can be found at kboo.fm and click on the right side of the page under Community Events.
Cascadia. Today is Thursday, February 13th, 2014, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, KBOO.fm on the web. Brought to you by, well, brought to you by you. This is where things start. This is where we are able to make things happen. KBOO came out of a world that no longer exists. The world that created this station is long gone, and we're still here. Think about what that means. That means that participating in this puts you out on the edge. Okay, yes, it is scary out on the edge, but the edge is always in every living system on Earth. The edge is where change happens. This is where things happen, and being part of that is being part of a sustainable future. All of us, we're all futurists here. That said, before we get into it, I want to thank Rod Bergeron for engineering today. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts. Know your rights. Take a stand. First, the headlines. We have guests today. We're going to talk. We're back to the old Megalod Road today because there's a lawsuit pending, and we're going to hear more about that a little later in the program. Yesterday, though, Oregon Governor John Kitzhaber was the first up to bat at the witness stand before the House Transportation and Economic Development Committee. He called the $2.9 billion Columbia River crossing. That's exactly like when you go to the shops and it says $3.99, right? Not $4, $3.99. This is $2.9 billion is $3 billion, but in the end, we all know that it's going to be a great deal more than that. Kitzhaber still insists that the project is reasonable, feasible, and affordable. Anyway, he probably will not be in office anyway when the bills start to come in. And when you don't know what you don't know, because the people who know that they don't know it, the people who know that they don't know it because they signed away the right to ask about it. This happened to the government of Calvert County, Maryland, when officials signed a non-disclosure agreement on August 21st of 2012 with Dominion Resources. Now, they're forever locked in an embrace that is going to probably pollute most of Calvert County past all possible cleanup efforts and take it way beyond Superfund horizons. And so the Port of Portland commissioners have approved an incentive program to keep Hanjin shipping from abandoning the city. Amazing what we do. Amazing what the state of Oregon will do to make things comfy for corporations. The commissioners voted yesterday to pay Hanjin and other carriers $20 per container moved through Portland. There's so much I could do with that, but we're going to move right on. And the Portland School Board has unanimously declared a state of emergency, a move that allows the school superintendent to spend money on prepping for a strike. And of course, you know, where some of that money is dedicated is to hiring scabs. And why don't we just call replacement teachers scabs? Because that's what they are, after all, aren't they? They're scabs. Substitute teachers who are staying out in solidarity with their co-workers have been intimidated and threatened with non-existent retribution. And Portland Police Sergeant Pete Simpson said, this is one of those finally this stories, an officer was in Southeast Precinct parking lot when he heard someone yelling in an unattended car. Apparently, Reuben James Turner III had crawled into the police car to get out of the cold. This is someone who, a non-housed person, no roof over their head, but definitely wheels under their